Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
So, Seth, as we are in our curve flattening mode right now, and it sounds like the national stance on this is going to be, in order to curve flatten, we're going to need to be in our homes at least until April 30th was what the president said yesterday. We can get into the effects on the sports world on that. That'll be something we talk about, I'm sure, probably until we're back in studio or have sporting events on the schedule again. But I know you took some time this weekend to think about some of the other things that we might, in the sports world, we might be able to curve flatten over the over this pandemic period that we're in right now.
Yeah, or just in general, things that
things
that we need to flatten the curve on some of these things before they get out of hand. Some of these things in society, and you need to act now to get it done.
Things that where the curve has been ascending, and that we need to come up with some sort of policy to try to squelch them out.
So, like, for example, in the real world, this hasn't really infiltrated the sports world yet, other than Mike Tyson, the face tattoo. And I say it not because I don't, it's not because I don't respect the face tattoo. It's exactly the opposite. It's that I have the ultimate respect for the face tattoo, in that I used to see a person with a face tattoo and I would fear that person. And it was smart to fear them because they were a badass. There was somebody that had like a teardrop tattoo. They'd been to prison. It was a gang tattoo or something like that. Where now normal little punk kids are getting face tattoos. And we need to keep the ability for the, I want it to be that I can identify somebody that's crazy enough to have a face tattoo and know to steer clear of them. Where now it's just becoming another thing.
Well, let me ask you this, because will that become the norm? Because if you remember, during my youth, there was a time where if you had a tattoo, not a face tattoo, but just had a tattoo, you were a badass person. Now it seems like everybody's got tattoos. And some of the nicest people in the world are covered in tattoos.
I think it was harder to get it. Does it shift? I think it was harder to get a tattoo back in the day. I don't think there weren't as many places that it was legal to get them. So when they started getting legalized, everybody started getting them. And you're right, the athletes especially, I remember talking to Meltzer about this, because Meltzer's like 10 years younger than me, and that's where the generation gap was of that. There's like Meltzer had never thought about the fact that most athletes like my age, not many of them really had tattoos. If a guy had, I remember, Matt Stevens, you remember him? Matt Stevens had like a...
Yep.
Like almost a sleeve, and that was a big deal that he had as many tattoos as he did. Where now a sleeve is almost like just the standard issue. I don't like that. I like it when a tattoo means something, but it might be too late.
So some sports ones here. Jersey swapping.
I don't like it either. I think it's gotten way too common, to the point where now guys are like having to buy extra jerseys because they're planning on swapping it for other people. And I'll say I don't like it because I think there's a little bit of clout grabbing going on, where a guy like Lamar Jackson has 10 guys asking to swap jerseys with him after he rushes for 300 yards against them. And like, no, you're not worthy. Like, I think back in the day, like, I think this started in rugby and soccer. And it was more like, I thought it was when there was like a genuine battle between two great players, or where you really respect the guy a lot, you know, so you ask for his jersey after the match. Now it's just become a standard, like, oh, we're going to swap jerseys so I can have it up in my kick-ass game room. I don't like it. Yeah. It means too little. Just like the tattoos, they're doing it too frequently.
Okay, let me ask you this. regarding jersey swapping, the one that I think of is right after the Ravens just manhandled the Texans in week 11 this year, 41-7. And then afterwards, a picture surfaces on Instagram of Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson swapping jerseys. And not just the two of them swapping jerseys after the loss, but if I remember correctly in the picture, Deshaun is the one smiling and Lamar Jackson looks like the one who lost 41-7. My question to you is, how do you think Bill O'Brien liked that picture when he saw it?
I bet Bill O'Brien texted Deshaun. Like, if Deshaun texts rap lyrics, I bet Bill O'Brien texts like Leonard Skinner lyrics or something like that. cryptic
Molly Hatchet.
Yeah, cryptic Southern rock lyrics.
I'm traveling down the road and I'm flirting with disaster.
But that's exactly right. That's like asking somebody to swap jerseys after they beat the crap out of you. Like, you might as well have them sleep with your wife and ask them to take a picture and send it to you. Like, there's no dignity in this. Yeah, it's the exact same thing.
Same exact thing. Now, this is a good one. Fan petitions. Look, I was as mad at Bill O'Brien as anybody was after he traded DeAndre Hopkins. But you people who tweet out these change.org petitions to try to get Bill O'Brien fired, you're ridiculous. You are ridiculous. Are those the type of fan petitions that you're thinking of, Seth?
Yes, yes. And the thing that bothers me the most about those is that the news reports on them like they mean something. Like, there's a change.org petition with 40,000 signatures. Oh, you mean 40,000 signatures or 40,000 people click the box? Like, that doesn't mean that. You might as well just tell me how many clicks a news article got or something. And do we have any evidence that these things ever work for anything?
No.
Like, I don't think, does anybody take these things seriously?
No. Yeah. In part because of what you just said, it's all electronic now. It would be something else if somebody had to walk door to door to get 40,000 signatures. You know, back in my day, you actually had to take a clipboard out and either go stand on the corner or walk door to door to get those signatures. Now you just send out a link to everybody like you're some sort of spam machine. And you get what you get out of it. No, right. There's got to be some legwork that goes into it.
Yeah, you used to actually have to like convince people of it. You'd stand outside a grocery store and you might have to have a 10-minute conversation with somebody before they sign your petition. And that's why it meant something back then. Now it means very, very little.
When I brought up this topic with Amy last night, Seth, this flattening the curve thing, immediately she said gender reveals. Immediately.
Yeah. I'm torn on this because I haven't participated in one yet, nor have any of my family members that I'm aware of done one of them, because I don't go on Facebook very much. So maybe they have, and I just don't know it. I can kind of, I see where they're fun. Like, I see, like, I like it when people get creative with them, but I guess what I don't necessarily understand is people getting as excited as they do about finding out what it is. That's the part I don't get. Like, I don't remember having like a huge emotional, like, I was prepared. Sean, I had sat down and I had braced myself for one of two outcomes. It's not like it's a big mystery or anything. Like, oh, what's it going to be? Well, it's going to be one of two things, you dullard.
We're having a toaster.
It's like if I walked into the studio one morning and I was like, Sean, I'm going to flip a penny. Just wait. And you're like, oh my God. And then as soon as we found out whether it was head or tails, we'd flip out.
Right. Yeah. I'm emotionally attached to tails for some reason. Yeah. What else? Farewell tours. You're not a fan of farewell tours.
The sports farewell tour. No.
Yeah.
Especially because all these quarterbacks are getting old. I'm dreading the season where all of a sudden, like, Philip Rivers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, all these guys decide to have their farewell tour in the same season. It's going to be, it'll be fun for about 2 weeks, but like the Derek Jeter stuff, you know, like what did we give Derek Jeter? Some cowboy boots or something? I don't like what Derek Jeter doesn't need to get crap from us. We've only been in the same league for 5 years.
Yeah, you're right. Like, these other cities all paying respect to Derek Jeter. Thank you for hitting 305 against us for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
The group celebration poses. Yes.
Yeah, I'm kind of over it. I'm over that.
Yeah, that I was excited a couple of years ago when football said we're going to be a little more lax about our celebration rules. But the group celebrations after the turnovers are absurd. They're ridiculous. They're to the point where I almost want them to dial back and go back to the old rules where they can flag this stuff.
The only group celebrations I want to see are reenactments of notable battle scenes from world history. Like, I always wanted in the London game, I want a team to reenact Washington crossing the Potomac, like something from the Revolutionary War, or maybe you do
that's
the Marines
really good.
Yeah. Do the Marines on Iwo Jima, you know, putting up the flag like that.
Yeah.
Or Screech defeating Horshack in the celebrity boxing match.
Celebrity boxing?
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Ron Palillo.
I read a 2,000-word article about that on The Ringer this weekend.
Of course you did.
That's how starved I am for content. Let's revisit this notable moment in history.
The funny thing is, Seth, even during times where there isn't a pandemic going on, that's like 50% of The Ringer's content. An oral history of the Saved by the Bell episode where Jesse took all that no-dose or the overdosed on caffeine pills. 8,000 words.
You know where I take issue? I'm actually going to write an email to the guy that wrote this article, because it was a good article, other than when he decided to just start flip-flopping back and forth between using Screech's name and then the actor who played Screech's name. And then the same thing with Horshack and the player that – who is it? Was it Palillo that played Horshack?
Yes, Ron Palillo.
But he started just interchanging the names. So we're like, I don't know what the name of this guy is. Is it Silver that played Horse? Yeah, that was it was very confusing. He was using these guys' names like they're household names of actors or something.
Yeah, not a way to attract the average Welcome Back Cotter, the casual Welcome Back Cotter fan into your.
Okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.